Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Think of what a tyrant time is to you and me. We've got too much to do. We don't have time for this, the word. We don't have time to wait and hear from the Lord. And this is a cool thing. In one of the question and answer things at the conference this last week, someone asked Pastor Chuck, this was classic. Someone asked Pastor Chuck about his devotion time. This is all pastors, and they put in these questions. And so one of the questions that they took out and Chuck answered was, you know, how do you arrange your devotion life? I mean, how do you spend time with God? And Chuck just looked at everybody, thought for a minute, and he just said, well, you know, I don't really compartmentalize my life like that. You see, from the time I wake up, I see every moment of every day as a devotion to the Lord. What a great response. Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I'm devoted to God, and my life is to be a devotion to the Lord. It was just great. We are too compartmentalized sometimes, and I think that was a great response to help bring it in and makes a great point for this tonight. Man, I've got so much to do that I don't have time for God. One of the great evangelists, one of his penned notes that he had written was, I have so much to do, I don't have time not to pray. I have to pray. I got so much to do, I'm going to spend extra time in prayer. You know, what a great attitude, what a great vantage point, knowing that really the source comes from God. Time is a tyrant. The flesh does this to us. Saul was operating in the flesh. He says, man, there's no time for that. There's no time to soak up this honey and it's interesting to me that it was something that would enlighten, and I think it's something that we can see as the word for us, something that we saw in that Psalm 19 that really kind of speaks to our hearts about taking time to be with God, because it is also that which enlightens or energizes our lives. That's radical enough, but it doesn't stop with that. So he found that he was enlightened. He was energized. His eyes were brightened. This is what Jonathan had said, or that was said of him. Then in verse 28, one of the people said, your father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed is the man who eats food this day. And the people were faint. But Jonathan said, my father has troubled the land. Jonathan's going, man, he's missing it on this. Look now, how my countenance has brightened because I tasted a little of this honey. Maybe that's true of you and me. I find it to be true. My daily life progresses much better if I've hung out with the Lord a little bit, you know, to get things rolling. There's a stark difference for me when I'm not. And I think most of us would attest to that and just say, yeah, that's really just true. And I'm not talking about hours and hours and hours of just reading. I'm just talking about, man, getting oriented and thinking right about the day at hand. Am I bringing it to the Lord? Am I laying the day at the Lord's feet? And am I asking for God's guidance and direction? This is that little bit of honey kind of brightened or energized and picked me up. How much better if the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found. For now, would there not have been a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? The flesh that seems to make sense, we don't have time for that. Jonathan's saying, wait a minute, I was energized by this. Hey, it's possible that what happened could have even been a more radical thing had we really dipped into the honey a little bit, had we taken a little bit from some sustenance. You see, you and I need to eat from the word of God. We need to dine on the Lord just as we need to eat good food for our bodies. Both are true, spiritually and physically. Both are necessary. Now, they had driven back the Philistines from that day from Michmash to Hialon, So the people were very faint, and the people rushed on the spoil and took sheep, oxen, and calves. They were so hungry from all this pursuing things, and they slaughtered them on the ground, and the people ate them with the blood. And you know that's not kosher, right? They're not supposed to eat that way. They're supposed to let the blood out. You know, you kind of drive around out in the country, you can see the deer hanging from the limbs around here, you know, and they've let, you know, and let the blood out. That was always fun. The boys and I used to drive around out in Southwest Missouri and look for that. But that was always fun, right? First thing in the morning, right when we pulled into the school, off to the left, there was this tree limb that the guy always hung his deer out. He's just, you know, letting the blood out of it. Anyway, great way to start the day. They did this, and really, now they, this whole thing began in the flesh, right? We know that. It started off in the flesh, and then it led them to doing things in the flesh, and they ate the unclean meat because they were so hungry, they're so starved, but it started out in the flesh. It led to another fleshy response. It just went from bad to worse. It's kind of the chain reaction, right? Then they told Saul, saying, look, the people are sinning against the Lord by eating with the blood. So he said, you have dealt treacherously. Roll a large stone to me this day. He's like, oh my gosh. It's basically, Saul now turns this all around. Now check this out. Isn't this the flesh? It's all the tables all turning now. And Saul's going, oh, it's you guys. You guys are blowing it. Check this out. I can't even believe this, how clear this becomes. Then Saul said, disperse yourselves among the people and say to them, bring me here every man's ox and every man's sheep. Slaughter them here and eat. And do not sin against the Lord by eating with the blood. So every one of the people brought his ox with him that night, and slaughtered it there. Verse 35. Then Saul built an altar to the Lord. That was the first altar that he built to the Lord. Now, Saul now takes the role of a priest. Saul himself is trying to fix this situation in and of his efforts. Think about this scenario, how this plays out. I've seen this many times, but this is the interesting thing of how this goes. This is how I see it in a comic strip. Sorry, my mind works in cartoons and stuff sometimes. But so there's a superhero, and the superhero has to have villains, right? Has to have problems or issues or something to happen. And then he swoops in and he's the hero then in his own comic strip. Well, that's basically what happens with this. Saul, in and of his flesh, has created this whole chain reaction scenario to take place. And then now he's going to come in and say, well, just bring this stuff to me. You guys, you shouldn't have been doing this anyway. What are you guys doing? You're blowing it. But he's the one that pushed them to that point to begin with. And now he's going to swoop in and say, no, I can fix this if you bring this stuff to me. And then he takes the role of a priest, that he has no place of taking that role. He's the king. He's not supposed to be the priest. The real reality of this is there can only be one person that can hold the two roles. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is both king and priest. There's only one that can hold that role. And it's Jesus, the Son of God. So Saul said in verse 36, let us go down after the Philistines by night and plunder them until morning light, and let us not leave a man of them. And they said, do whatever seems good. Then the priest said, let us draw near to God here. They're sensing, the priest at least is sensing, man, dude, something's gone south here. This was a fleshy statement that he's making. So Saul asked counsel of God, shall I go down after the Philistines? Will you deliver them into the hand of Israel? But God did not answer him that day. I'll read it quickly to you, but Psalm 66, I believe it's 18, gives us an insight into the problem here. If I regard iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If I regard or I allow iniquity to stay in my heart, sin to be in my heart, he will not hear. Saul makes inquiry. There's no real response. So Saul says, they're not completely unaware that, ooh, wow, God's not responding. That's a concern. They're aware of that. Saul said, come over here, all you chiefs of the people, and know and see what sin was today. What went on? What somebody's blowing it. He's not, this is the other thing that happens with the flesh, isn't it? The flesh doesn't see. Sin is such a blinding thing. The flesh, when it's leading, we don't see. This is why it's so important to allow God's presence into our lives. Because without it, we're blinded. We don't even see what's happening. We don't even know that we're in the flesh. Here, this situation, so apparent, so clear. He gets these people, he says, for as the Lord lives, who saves Israel, and thought it to be in Jonathan my son, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. But not a man among all the people answered him. He says, hey, I don't care who did what, even if it's my own son, Jonathan. Isn't it interesting that he says, he doesn't just say, yeah, even if it's one of my kids. No, he says, even if it's my own son, Jonathan. I believe it's likely as this story goes on that he probably knew what had happened already, that Jonathan had done this. I think it's very possible, though that is conjecture to some extent. I think it's very possible as this storyline trails out tonight, you'll see very quickly that it looks like it was very possible. Think about it. Jonathan had wrought this great victory. Prior to that, there was a victory and Saul blew the horn and took the glory for the victory that Jonathan wrought, right? Remember that? Then we see this situation here again, and it's kind of like, you know, that's kind of funny that all of a sudden he's bringing him up in this. Then he said to all Israel, you be on one side, and my son Jonathan and I will be on the other side. And the people said to Saul, do what seems good to you. In other words, hey, if it's somebody of you guys or if it's me and Jonathan, great, but let the Lord decide. So they kind of cast lots. Therefore, Saul said to the Lord God of Israel, give a perfect lot. So Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. So the people, nope, wasn't them. So it's one of either Saul or Jonathan. And Saul said, cast lots between my son Jonathan and me. So Jonathan was taken. Looks like Jonathan blew life. So then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what you have done. And Jonathan told him and said, I only tasted a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand. So now, he says, I must die. He says, you said this, you created this, and he said, now I must die. I think it's so cool how Christ-like, in that sense, Jonathan plays out for us. If that's the way it is, I'm willing, if that's what it's gonna take. If that's gonna make this right, you know, there's going to be a lot of situations, brothers and sisters, for us as believers, there's a lot of situations where sometimes you got to die. The flesh has got to die. Something's got to die for something to work out. You know, it's just the way it is. And we can cry all the way, every day, everywhere we go, all about all of it, or we can just accept that, man, that's the way it goes. Husbands and wives, sometimes somebody's got to die. It doesn't always matter who was right or who was wrong. Sometimes somebody's just got to die to their own flesh and just say, hey, you know what? I want this to be right. I want to be reconciled. I want this to work out. So just let's move past this. Let's just extend forgiveness and let's move past this. You know, just put the flesh out of it and be done with it. Something's gotta die. I think it's so great. So now I must die. Saul answered, God do so and more also, for you, what a cool dad. I mean, you look at this, for you shall surely die, Jonathan. You're starting to see what sin and what the flesh can do and how slippery a slope this becomes. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing to me how it's gone from Jonathan's wrought this one victory, then this happens and that happens, and then all of a sudden, Saul's put out this thing, don't eat this and don't do that. And it's all in the flesh. And it leads him to the point where because he's so insecure personally that he's willing to put his own son to death. Because you see, Saul doesn't want Jonathan to be the victor. How unchristlike Saul is and how Christlike Jonathan is. That's what I see as we look at this. You know, the Father in the Spirit. The Spirit led the Son into the wilderness to be, the word says, tempted, but it's the word tempted or tested are interchangeable in the New Testament. They're interchangeable words. But it was really to show who the Son of God really is. That the Father was really holding Jesus up and saying, yeah, go ahead. You can't defeat him. Go ahead. It was a testing to prove out who Jesus really was. Do you realize that's what happens in you and me when we go through trials? Satan wants to use it to pull you away, and God, in the power of his Spirit, wants to hold you up in him as a victor for his glory, not for you, for his glory. That's really what goes on every day for every one of us. God wants to use that situation and that trial, that temptation. It's a temptation that Satan's using to tempt you to pull you away. It's a trial because it's a struggle for us. And it's a testing not to prove out how messed up you are, but to prove out how good God is in you, how powerful God is in your life. That's what all of that boiled down to. But here, Saul's ready to just, yeah, well, gosh, I guess we just have to kill him because, you know, and basically for him, hey, this is problem solved. You know, I'm king and, you know, Jonathan's dead. This works out perfect. I mean, that's how bad down the trail of everything that Saul had fallen. It's frightening to me. It's horrible. And the people said to Saul, huh, can you imagine if you're looking to that for leadership? Imagine how freaky that is. You're looking to that for leadership. People said to Saul, shall Jonathan die, who has accomplished this great deliverance in Israel? No, certainly not. I'm not going to allow that. That isn't going to happen. As the Lord lives, not one hair of his head shall fall to the ground, for he has worked with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, and he did not die. Then Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. I never hear Jonathan say a whole lot about anything. Certainly, God was his defense, wasn't he? He's proven himself as a great, certainly a solid warrior, wouldn't you think? Fearless in the Lord. Wrought this tremendous victory, only to come back to be jacked by his dad, you know? It's pretty radical. It's pretty intense. It's kind of good. It kind of helps us put little injustices that take place in some of our lives sometimes into a better, healthy perspective, don't you think? You know, injustice in this side of eternity is something that you can expect to experience some of in your Christian journey. And again, it goes back to something's going to have to die. And really, I guess it depends upon how important the situation is. Is you being right the most important thing? Maybe not all the time. Maybe that's not what it's all about. I think sometimes it's really wise to pick your battles on stuff like that. Because they're always going to be around. There's always going to be things around. But you want to sift through them and look at them and say, well, is this something that really matters that much? Majoring in minor issues isn't what it's worth. So Saul, in verse 47, established his sovereignty over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab. The list goes on, the people that they came against, lists off family members, and then it goes on in verse 52 is the close out of this. Now there was fierce war with the Philistines all the days of Saul, and when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him for himself. In other words, he instituted a draft, which is exactly what, you know, Samuel said was what was going to happen if you have a king. If you have a king, these are the things that are going to happen to you. You're going to subject yourselves to this. And exactly that's what happened. A lot of great things to glean from this. No doubt for us, the opportunity is choosing each and every day to walk in God's Spirit, to allow time for the Lord, to allow our lives to even be a devotion to the Lord, but spend time getting some honey. There's a lot to do, and the battle rages on, believe me. But we can't war without being energized. And only the Spirit, through His Word, is going to sustain you and sustain me. The battle's going to rage on. It's going to be there for all of us. Different ways, different areas, different things, but the battle's going to rage on. To me, the key seems to be, man, I'm looking at a guy who didn't take on any spiritual nourishment, began to get, let's get the ark, let's seek the Lord, gets over here, let's seek the Lord, but then kind of just doesn't really follow through with that, was impatient again, didn't really stay with seeking the Lord, and then fell prey to his own flesh. And look at the progression of how far down it went. It's horrible, isn't it? To me, it's horrible. It's ugly, it's disgusting, it's a bummer. And it went that far down the road. And then when he makes inquiry and he doesn't hear from God because of his own sin nature, he's so caught up in himself that he can't see that it's him. And he blames everybody else around him. It's just horrible to read through that and see that play out. That's the flesh, and that's what the flesh will do to any one of us if we only yield to that. Man, we want to eat the honey. We want to get into God's Word. We want to seek Him every day, and we want to walk in His Spirit. Every day, every moment throughout the day, we have opportunities in situations and circumstances. Do I choose to walk in His Spirit, or am I going to walk in my flesh? Am I going to choose to do? And you guys know, we've talked about this from time to time. Those things are split-second things sometimes in time where a situation will occur, and all of a sudden you can feel, you feel your ears starting to get warm, face starts to get a little bit red. You know that sense, man, this is really bugging me. And it's not always that you can't say anything. I think it's how we say what we say and what is in our heart when we're saying it. What's really going on? And man, you can find sometimes best said nothing. Sometimes that's what the Spirit would have us do. Sometimes definitely is always speak the truth in love. If we're going to speak something, we'll speak the truth in love. Thank you for tuning in today and for listening to the radio program, for listening to God's Word. And I know God has a perfect plan for your life. And it starts, really, by giving our hearts to the Lord. If you've not given your heart to the Lord, or you're just in a place where you have a sense that you're distant from God and you just want to open your life up to the Lord, the Word says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Isn't that great to know that we have a God that's full of grace and mercy, that He's willing to pardon all of our sin, to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness? It's a simple prayer, just to give your life to Jesus. Man, all things become new when we give our lives to the Lord. If you just pray this simple prayer along with me, Jesus, I want to open my heart up to You. I want to ask that You would forgive me of my sin, my unrighteousness, that You would pardon me. I thank You so much for that grace and mercy that You've shown me. Lord, thank You for the love that put You on the cross, that You did that willingly for me. And Lord, again, I just open my heart to You. I receive You as my personal Lord and my Savior. And I thank You for that free gift of everlasting life that You've given me. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/calvarychapelkc. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Jesus, come.